Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Absolute pleasure to be with you today. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. I want to freely ask this question. If someone invites you to Thanksgiving dinner, and they say, and you ask, what can I bring? And they say, how about plates, cups, and plasticware? Is that a hint they don't like your cooking?
I figured it'd be perfectly obvious that's what you should bring. Maybe I'm not looking into it as much as I should.
I think it's a hint. All right, time now for our play-by-play call of the day. Clippers and Celtics. Kemba Walker tries to win it. Kawhi Leonard is there.
Smart will inbound on the far sideline. 1.6 left. Walker, left corner three. It was blocked by Kawhi Leonard. The claw saves the day. And the 2-1-3 connection is 1-0 in Clippers history. The Clippers come away with a victory, 107-104, and it's the claw, Kawhi Leonard, who comes up with the biggest play at the end.
Leonard's 2, Paul George is 13, 213. What's the area code in Los Angeles? 213. Okay. Figure a way to explain it. All right, with that, anytime I get a chance to spend some time and have any conversation with Dave Revson, I relish it. Dave, welcome. It's great to have you with us.
Awesome to be on with you, Steve. Anything going on there this week?
No, just kind of just going through the motions as usual, Dave. You know how I operate. when you've watched Ohio State this year, you've seen a lot of great teams. So through 10 weeks, what have you been watching? How good are they?
I mean, I just think they're a really complete team. That's what stood out to me. They had obvious issues last year with the big plays on defense, and I think that was what held them back from being really elite. I mean, just defense in general. This wasn't a great defensive team. You know, last year they gave up 39 plays of 30 yards or longer, which was the most in the Big Ten. This year, not only have they given up the fewest in the Big Ten, they've given up the fewest in the country. They've gone from 39 to 7. So that, to me, was the biggest issue. And then offensively, I think it's just been amazing how comfortable Justin Fields has been really from the get-go. That he fit into that offense right away. He got it. You know, it's a quarterback-friendly system, and you can really see that. And then you add in the incredible improvement that they've seen at the running back spot with J.K. Dobbins. So I think those are the things that have stood out to me, was that the weakness last year has become a strength, and the things they were good at a year ago are certainly as good, if not in some ways maybe a little bit better.
When Jerry Howard and you did the tour and went there, did you get that sense that they had a chance to be this good?
No, I would say no. And the reason I would say no is that, well, first of all, we were there very early.
Right.
We've tended to come east first in the last maybe like 4 or 5 years, and it's been frustrating, maybe most so with Ohio State. We usually see them second. We've been going where we see Indiana first and Ohio State second, and so you don't see them in pads. And Fields just flat out had a bad day the day we were there. I mean, he was late and behind guys. And then, of course, the backup situation was bad. And so you worried a little bit about, well, if they end up with Fields getting hurt, they're going to be in real trouble. And, of course, he's an integral part of their run game. It was pretty obvious he needed to be. You could tell how athletic he is. And so that was a fear. What if he gets hurt in week two? I mean, their backups, I still fear what would happen if he were to get hurt in service of them, you know, in the college football playoff and whatnot, were they to get there. But, yeah, so I thought they were good. They certainly have the most talent in the league. I think that's that's kind of been almost a constant, probably almost the entire time that we've been on the air, I think, in BTN. You go through and just, if you match everyone up man for man, they've been the most talented team. But, you know, the most talented team doesn't always win, as we've seen, and they certainly haven't won the league every year. But just kind of across the board, they've been the deepest. But those were my concerns, I would say, was really like the quarterback spot and backup quarterback. And then just the learning curve. Like, you would just assume there would be a learning curve when a new guy comes in, but that hasn't been the case.
I feel like I'm watching the AT&T commercial, Chase Young, the doctor. Guess who got reinstated? I'll see you in there. Well, we'll get to see him in there on Saturday. When you watch, you know, we've seen a lot of great defensive players over the years. When you watch him, what are a couple of things that you've seen and also maybe a couple of observations that Jerry and Howard have seen from Chase Young?
Well, I can't necessarily speak for those guys, but just, I mean, it's just obvious when you see him how good he is. I mean, watching him in practice, you know, I mean, I would say it's along the lines of watching Micah Parsons, let's say, or, you know, we always talk, Howard and I talk about the first time we ever saw Saquon Barkley turn the corner, and we kind of looked at each other and we're like, whoa. Right?
So that was Jack. I called Jack Ham, the second day of practice? Jack says, I'll be there Thursday. I said, you need to see 26.
I mean, that dude's just different, right? Yeah. And that's kind of the same deal here, is you watch him and you're just kind of like, this dude is different. He's so strong. His first step is amazing. His arm, I mean, his wingspan is like a condor, right? I mean, it's just everything about him just screams superstar. He's really, really impressive.
You discussed the adjustment period for Justin Fields. So now let's flip it to the other side. Another guy that's also going to be making his 11th start in his career is Sean Clifford. What have you seen in his adjustment period as a starter?
Well, I think Sean Clifford's been better than I thought. I mean, I was concerned even when we were at camp to a certain extent, but certainly going into the season, you know, it struck me that this could be an issue for them. And I did not see Tommy Stevens leaving as a good thing. And yet you look at how good Clifford's been. I think he's better with, you know, running the ball than people expected. I mean, he's got the third most rushing yards of any Big Ten quarterback. I didn't necessarily see that coming. They've been relying on him, you know. I mean, he's first in the Big Ten in total offense, so it's not like they've had a great running game this year. In fact, I would say I've been a little disappointed just that they don't seem to have arrived at kind of an every down feature back, you know. And I'm sure you've talked about this a lot, and, you know, Noah Kane being banged up clearly hasn't helped that. But it has become a team that it seems to me is most reliant on the pass game. And I think he's been up to the challenge, really, other than the Minnesota game where he really didn't play well. But I thought he bounced back and had some really good moments against Indiana. And I think overall he has exceeded my expectations from what I thought it would be coming into this year.
What have you thought of the Penn State defense and in particular Micah Parsons?
Yeah, I mean, fabulous. You know, Micah Parsons obviously is, again, we were talking about Chase Young, and I mentioned him in that same sentence. I mean, I think he's along the same lines. I mean, he's just an athletic freak. You see him, and you think there aren't many guys who look like that. The only thing I think that concerns me defensively, and this is not going to be a novel insight, I'm sure you've been talking a lot about this too, is I don't think the back is great. I think it's good. I think it's well above average. I think it's good enough to compete at a national level. I guess, is it elite? Is it as good as they've been in past years? You know, I guess I don't think so. And so that, to me, is the big challenge and the concern because of the way that Ohio State can pick you apart.
All right, I want to flip the script to the other division because, obviously, I just saw Minnesota a couple weeks ago. What have you thought of their story to this point, and why do you think they have become as good as they've become despite what happened at Iowa over the weekend?
Yeah, I didn't really believe in them at the beginning of the year. I did think when we went to camp, it really felt like a lot of the West was kind of bunched together and that there were a lot of teams that could win it, and I guess Minnesota was somewhat in that mix, but kind of on the periphery of it. I mean, I would not have come out of there thinking. Now, you looked at the schedule, and you did think there was a good chance, actually, that they could easily be 8-0 out of the gate just because of who they were playing. But then those first few weeks when they're struggling to beat South Dakota State and Fresno State and Georgia Southern, just kind of thinking, all right, you know, this is a team they really couldn't run the ball. The offensive line was struggling. They were a very pass-dependent team. And then they just kind of figured it out. I mean, they are a team that has gotten better and better, Steve, as the year's gone on. And I think that's really stood out to me. I think their offensive line's improved by leaps and bounds. Yes. Now, they got exposed against Iowa. I mean, Epinesa made them look really ordinary, I thought, in that game, and maybe even below average. But up until then, I felt like they had really improved in that area. They were a team that could beat you running it or throwing it. Tanner Morgan's been an incredible story, just because he wasn't even necessarily supposed to be the starting quarterback. I mean, at the end of last year, he played pretty well. Anixted was ahead of him, and then Morgan played down the stretch as Anixted got hurt and was better, I would say, than Anixted was. But part of that was the defense was better, and they had just kind of made some improvements as last year went on. But I thought they were in trouble when we were at camp, just because of the lack of depth there and because he was unproven. And it seemed a shame because of how talented the wide receivers are. I mean, that's the thing that jumps out at you when you see them in camp, is really the skill positions in general. I thought that they were great at running back, too. I was just concerned about the line. So that, to me, has stood out about this story, is just how good Tanner Morgan's been, how accurate he has become, and being able to take advantage of what I think is as good a group of receivers as there is in the Big Ten.
Yeah, that their receivers are special. I mean, those are two NFL guys out there. All right, now, since halftime of the Penn State-Michigan game, what's clicked for Michigan?
I think the run game has been a big part of it. To me, that's been one of the big changes. It just seems like they got a couple of backs. You know, Charbonnet didn't have the great game last week against Michigan State, but, you know, had been good prior to that. Hassan Haskins has had some moments. So it feels like they've figured that out. I think Patterson's getting more comfortable in the offense. It just feels like they finally understand what they want to do here with Josh Gattis. They are talented at receiver. I think they've had a good line all year. I haven't really worried about that group. And they have stopped turning the ball over. So I just think offensively they kind of figured it out. And defensively, maybe gambling a little bit less than they have in the past. I mean, they've given up fewer big plays. Yeah. You know, Jerry talks a lot about that the offensive and defensive philosophies weren't really married to one another well.
Right.
You know, this notion that if you're going to be a team that's going to gamble on defense and kind of play that risk-reward game, that you have to be explosive on offense, and they really haven't been that. And so that there was kind of a disconnect in terms of what they were trying to do on each side of the ball. I don't think they've been quite as over the top in terms of the blitzing, and so, you know, maybe kind of that the lack of the big plays allowed has allowed games to kind of be dictated more in the tempo that they want.
Dave, always a pleasure. Really appreciate your insight very much. You guys going to be there on Saturday? Going to take the show there?
We are going on Saturday, along with every other pregame show on the planet. So it should be quite a scene. I mean, it's going to be a lot of fun, and really looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to seeing you, Dave, as always.
All right, Steve. Thanks for having me on, man.
Dave Refson, BTN. It's interesting he talks about that. How often have you heard me talk about how important it is to play offense to your defense or defense to your offense? It's not talked about very much. Yeah, it's more about, is it his team? It's Justin Herbert's team. How about, like, do you play offense to your defense and defense to your offense? Like, something that actually matters? All right, we'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
For nearly 100 years, Purdy Insurance has been your locally owned, family-operated source for insurance products. With a staff of over 20 and partnerships with some of the industry's most trusted companies, Purdy has the experience and resources to get the job done. Whether you need personal, home, and auto, or complex business insurance solutions, Purdy will help you navigate through the process. Call today at 570-286-5855, or better yet, stop in their Sunbury office to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Penn State and Ohio State Saturday. That will be Noon, 10:30, the airtime here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Also Saturday at noon on Eagle 107, Bucknell and Syracuse basketball from the Carrier Dome with Doug Birdsong. All right. The Myles Garrett has had his indefinite suspension upheld, which means it's minimum six games because there's six games remaining in the season. As predicted, Pouncey had his reduced from 3 to 2. You want to make sure it was 2. You don't want him playing in the Cleveland game. That's the second game. So you reduce it from 3 to 2. There's been no fine yet levied against Mason Rudolph, but he expects one. But they haven't levied a fine against him. And then there was the accusation made by Myles Garrett that a racial slur was used by Rudolph. Well, Mike Tomlin certainly doesn't believe it, does he? He told the team flat out, he said, "We all know that's not true. Let's get back to practice." Well, that's a pretty strong statement from your head coach. The problem I have with the accusation, which is very, very serious, and if it were to have been said, then we would really be adamant about the situation. But Garrett, post-game, when the emotions were high, never mentioned it. You would think with emotions high that he said, well, he shouldn't have said, but you know what I mean? But he didn't. Then with a chance to think about it before his statement that he released, I believe, the next day, which would have been, what, Friday? Same story. He didn't mention it. It didn't come up until today. Rudolph was asked about it and was vehement in his denial. It's also very, very hard for him. I mean, you don't really have much backup on this because the two of them were on the ground at the time. The other players, it may have been a second or two later, but that's they had not arrived yet.
Our friend of the show, Chris Mack, who does a co-host of the morning show on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh, he posted this on his Twitter earlier today. Garrett was asked point blank after the game on Thursday night whether Rudolph said anything or not. All Garrett said to a reporter on the fly was, just look at the tape. Just got to look at the tape. So you're right. Why not? Then why didn't you mention it then? Exactly.
Right. Right. I mean, that's when emotions are the highest. He said, well, he said something he shouldn't have said. At minimum. But he wouldn't go there. And then when he had a chance to think about it, same story. He wouldn't go there. That's why the accusation gets filed into the gray area, because it wasn't until the third attempt to discuss this that it's brought up. First two, he never brought it up. That does raise an eyebrow. Because once you were accused of making any kind of racial slur or anything else in the area of race, it is almost impossible to defend yourself. It is something that is, once it's said, it's assumed, and it makes it hard to defend yourself.
Jason Lockenfour of CBS Sports says that the NFL has looked into allegations of racially inappropriate languages was made toward Myles Garrett, and they've determined there was no evidence to back it up. But Garrett is planning on meeting again with NFL officials after the season is over to discuss when his suspension could be lifted.
Yeah, because it's indefinite right now. You know, in other words, when I mentioned earlier it was a six-game suspension, that was for the rest of this season.
And if Goodell would have put the hammer down, I mean, he could say he could, you know, he could extend it into the even the first couple games into the next season if he wanted to.
Sure, he could. He could take it in four games. He could take it six, eight, ten. I mean, he could do whatever he wants with it. I don't know what the NFLPA says about this. But if I'm asking the question, my question is as follows. After the game, you didn't say anything about it. When you were emotional about it, when you had time to think about it and you made your statement, when things had cooled down, you still said nothing about it. Why are you bringing it up now?
Even if Mason Rudolph did say something that was racial, it still is no excuse for Myles Garrett to off his helmet and try to strike him with it on the head. I know you get it. I know that, but...
Well, for Mason Rudolph, if he did not say it, it still puts him in a bad spot.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. The Penn State Nittany Lions play on WKOK.
Touchdown, Penn State! The Nittany Lions take the lead!
Penn State football is sponsored by Murray Motor Chevrolet, Earth Energy Innovations, Regisseur Chevrolet, First National Insurance, Sealands Grove Ford, Mart's Game Farm, Purdy Insurance Agency. The Nittany Lions go to the Horseshoe to take on Ohio State Saturday. Kickoff is set for noon. We're on beginning at 10:30 on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And now, Sean, you get to make the very important introduction.
Normally, this would be the Friday introduction, but we received a request from this gentleman up north. He could not wait until tomorrow. Was kicked out of the penthouse, slumbering now down in second place. But we are pleased to bring in, yes, formerly number 78 in your Enfield, Connecticut high school football program, number one in our hearts, Steve, here he is, your brother, the king, Kevin Jones.
Number 78 limping around on his now rotten knee.
First the hip, now the knee? Oh, no.
Well,
is that next on
the knee?
The
knee is what caused the hip. Okay. So, put it that way. But we're fine. Everything's good. How you guys doing?
We're good. We're good, buddy.
Good.
Yeah.
Good, good, good. Big games this week.
Really?
Hey, what's this? I turn on the computer, and on my it has little pop-ups, sports pop-ups, that USC's interested in James Franklin.
Well, he should be. He's a heck of a coach. You know, I haven't talked to him about it, nor will I talk about it. If he wants to talk to me about it, fine, but I'm not going to talk to him about it.
True. That's all I'm asking. I don't know if you.
Oh, I don't know if it's true. I have no idea if it's true. Zero. I'm just saying if somebody were interested in him, it would make sense to me because he's a heck of a coach. Yeah. If I'm hiring, he'd be somebody I would want to look at.
Their choice is between Urban Meyer and him, and they don't want Meyer. They want him. Yeah, Penn State's paying him well. So it's not the pay raise would be like $1.5 million a year. I mean, I'm just paraphrasing, but
like I don't
it's not like
you know
he's going to make a tremendous amount of more money to go there. It's you know, $1.5 million is $1.5 million more than I have.
I mean, this isn't the first time a story like this has surfaced about James Franklin. I mean, let's face it. I mean.
Yeah, well, his comment today or whenever was it's that time of the year when all this stuff comes up every year. So I kind of took it like he's got to listen, but he's not interested.
I believe it was Dennis Dodd. We've had him on the show here frequently, the college football writer from CBS Sports today, write up on that topic earlier this week.
Look, he's done a heck of a job. There are five programs in college football right now that have won 40 games or more in the last four seasons, including this one. Oklahoma, Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, Penn State. Right. So, I mean, that's the kind of job he's done, I mean, here. Penn State
has
won.
He had to rebuild.
Oh,
nothing, you know.
O'Brien did a great job,
but we're still behind the eight ball when he got there.
Dabo Swinney's been there a long time. Nick's been there a long time. Lincoln Riley took over from Bob Stoops, powerhouse. Ryan Day took over from Urban Meyer, powerhouse. James Franklin didn't quite have to start from scratch, but wasn't far from it. So he's done.
He had to convince people to go there. You know?
Yep, and he's done a really great job.
They wrote him up big. They said he is absolutely one of the best recruiters in this country.
So, no question. They do a great job with player development, and they win a lot of games. And you look at the 40 games they've won. Well, that 40 games they've won have included 2 over Michigan, 2 over Michigan State, 4 over Iowa, 2 over Wisconsin, beat Washington, beat Ohio State, beat Pitt 3 times. That's 15 of them right there, kids. You know, I mean, 40% against some pretty good teams. Yeah.
I'm just saying
that's why.
Obviously, everybody knows that because they want him at USC. So
exactly.
He's a tremendous coach. So.
Right? He's done a great job. Yeah. I completely understand why somebody would want him. And then it's his life. It's up to Fumi and James and the two girls, Shola and Addie. You know, if there's anything to think about, it's up to them to make their decision. Whatever they do, I'd support it.
Yeah. I hope he stays.
Well, obviously I do, too. I work around him every single day. Working with him has been not just great, it's been tremendous. I can't begin to tell you how great it has been working with him. So, I mean, I would absolutely be one of the people at him about, boy, I really don't want this guy to leave.
And we get to hear you and him talk here in less than 2 hours on the Coach's Show tonight.
Yeah. Well, 2 hours from now, we'll be chatting on the Coach's Show.
That's right.
We'll see if a fan... I will.
From both of us, yes.
We'll see. I mean, you never know. A fan may bring it up.
Huh?
A fan may bring it up, you know, because it's a fan show.
Yeah. No, I think he's a good guy.
Yep.
So I think he's a good man and a good guy. I love the way he supported his player and supported him strongly. I love that. He's done a very, very good job at Penn State, and he brought respect back to the program that Bill O'Brien also brought back. But
absolutely.
He brought it to another level, you know, that not only are we still good, we are still great. You know, that's very commendable. It's a good man. So, let's do some picks.
So let's do some picks, huh?
All right. So, a quick recap of last week. Yours truly going 6-1. So, we officially have a surge since this has been 3 weeks in. At one point, I was down by 9. So, we have cut the gap to 2. I'm 51-36 after the King going 4-3, Stefano 5-2, taking the overall lead with a record of 54-33, and Kevin 53-34. So that's where we are heading into week 14.
Good job, Sean.
Resurging.
Yeah.
I wasn't saying that 2 weeks ago because it could have been a fluke or an anomaly.
No, you were
just
very angry 2 weeks ago.
We have escaped the pit of misery, even though we're still in third, but we're surging. So we'll see if we can just keep stacking.
Well, good picks. Good solid picks.
That's, okay. So we have been talking a lot Penn State, Ohio State today. So why don't we just lead off with that game here in our picks in the shoe. Saturday morning, 10:30 airtime here on WKOK. Noon kick just after 12 from Ohio Stadium. The Buckeyes and the Nittany Lions. And I believe this is senior day since next week, Ohio State, Michigan, and Ann Arbor.
Wow.
Penn State will win.
Sean?
Yes, we got to go with Penn State.
I have toiled this all day long, and do you pick with your heart or do you pick with your head? And I'll be honest with you, the Michigan game bothered me a lot. So, because although Penn State won the game, they got beat, and that's just a fan watching it like, oh my God, they can't stop them at all. And so I think this is a bad spot for Penn State, and I'll be rooting for them hard to win, but I think Ohio State's a better team.
All right.
I got Ohio State.
So, Kevin, you just mentioned Michigan a moment ago, so we've got them here in our list. Michigan is at Indiana.
It's going to be a much better game than people realize. Mm-hmm. Much better game, especially in Bloomington. I think in the fourth quarter, Michigan will win it.
Yeah, I think the Michigan-Indiana games, the last few times they have played in Bloomington, they've been overtime games.
Yep.
And I also have Michigan, but yes, it'll be tight.
Yeah, I agree with you guys. 100, I think you nailed it. It's going to be a really tough game, and Michigan will pull it out, but Indiana's a very good football team. So, Michigan.
All right, so we're going to head south. Texas at Baylor.
They didn't do Baylor any favors, did they?
Ooh.
You got Oklahoma 1 week, Texas the next.
Yeah, Baylor should have. That was in the bag for them last week for Matt.
Man. Oh, man, I really don't like Texas. I mean, I'm talking about as a team, I have nothing against Texas. I just don't think they're very good. I'm going to go with Baylor at home.
I'm going to go with Texas.
Wow, good pick. I took Baylor. Texas offense too wishy-washy. Baylor had a tough loss last week, man.
Yes, they did.
Yeah. Well, good pick, Sean.
All right, so in the history of this pick segment, I can say without hesitation that this is the most we've had SMU.
Yes.
It's a big game.
Yeah.
You know?
SMU at Navy.
To be honest with you, I would not have put the Penn State-Ohio State game down just because I didn't want to. You know, I didn't want to. I just want to root for Penn State to win. But they're the only top 25 matchup. There's no other matchup. And this SMU-Navy game is a big game for the AAC. And Navy was ranked last week, so that's kind of close. But there's really no big top games this week. Ohio State's the big one. So
you didn't want to put Western Carolina, Alabama?
Yeah, come on. Alabama's only favored by 57.
I mean, LSU, Arkansas?
That's a tough place to play, huh?
Tigers favored by 43.
They can only win by 100 points, and if they lose a football game, it's just like, wow. You know, nobody wants what happened, you know. Now they're not even talking about them being in the top four anymore. Right. They lost one game to LSU.
Yep.
That's what's wrong with college football. It's, you know,
they lose at home.
Someone's got to win, someone's got to lose, you know.
You lose a home game to LSU. Okay,
yep.
I got it. Georgia lost a home game to South Carolina. Who used its third string quarterback? Okay, Georgia should not be ahead of Alabama. Should not be.
Well, how would you like to be Minnesota? And I realize how Penn State's ranked ahead of them, but if you're a Minnesota fan, you're like, why are we ranked behind Penn State? We beat them, you know?
Oh, yeah, I know. But
what they do doesn't, and not that it matters if you're 8 or 9, it really doesn't matter.
But to be honest
with
you, the schedule metrics between Penn State and Minnesota are not actually on the same page of the not on the same page.
Oh,
that is a gigantic problem.
They still beat them head to head. I mean,
I know, I understand that. The problem is the schedule metrics. It's just Minnesota's schedule really is that bad, and they're a good team that has played because the. Let's be straight. Not even their own administration had confidence in them because of the non-conference schedule.
And that's why I thought the Nittany Lions were going to floor Minnesota 2 weeks ago. I say, okay, just how really, really good of a team is this team? And, well, we found out. That was their day. They played great that day, and that was their Super Bowl. So we move on. Both teams move on from there, and we'll see.
I don't think they'll beat Wisconsin. I don't think they're going to win the division.
And it's like you said last week, Steve, getting back to Penn State quick. You'd mentioned last week Penn State-Indiana was a playoff game. This Saturday for sure is a playoff game. I mean, it is a de facto play-in game to the Big Ten East into the tournament, into the championship game in Indy.
Look, the Big Ten championship has been determined when Penn State plays Ohio State now in each of the last 4 years. What does that tell you? Not the Big Ten East, the Big Ten Championship.
To me, this is one of Penn State's biggest games in years because they absolutely have a shot at the Final Four if they win this game.
Right.
And they really have not had that straight opportunity to make it to the Final Four. But they're in the conversation right now. They win this game, man, they got a good shot. And they can win this game.
Yes.
They've got the tools to win it. Man, we've seen the block field goal and return for a touchdown. You know, it can happen.
Last I checked that night, they were a double-digit underdog as well. So
exactly.
Yeah.
And they left the nation stunned that night. Well, now's the night that you really, the game you really want that to happen because it will, as great as they are right now, they'll be greater. And, man, to make a Final Four would be just awesome. I want to see Penn State play Georgia. I want to see Penn State play LSU. You know, I want to see just how good are those teams down there. You really don't know because they don't schedule to play each other. They schedule crappy teams.
Well, you bring up scheduling and stuff, Kevin. I mean, look at Clemson. I mean, look at the. I mean, their schedule is their schedule, and it's like the ACC has been, kind of down this year. But Clemson's still doing what they have to do, and all they got to do is win.
How good they are.
Yeah.
Are they good because they're Clemson? or are they good because they're good? Is it just a name that's good, or the vaunted Alabama defense, well, they're really not that good against a really good football team, So there's a good example of a team that's ranked number one all the time until they play a really good quarterback, and then they struggle against good quarterbacks, and they always have. The other team's got a superstar quarterback, Alabama struggles, and they always say, well, thank goodness they only play one a year, Well, if they played three or four good quarterbacks a year, what would happen? So, I don't know. It's unfortunate they should have an 18 tournament at the end of the year, I think.
SMU is going to play Navy.
That's right, at Navy.
No offense, I always root for our Navy.
and more should, and we all should.
I'm sorry, when our Navy's out there, I'm rooting for them.
When
same thing with our Army and our Air Force, big backer,
big fan right here,
big fan, get it done. So I will pick Navy to win. Why not?
I've got SMU.
Wow. This
Smooth.
Is how Sean's caught up. This is good. I got Navy. I did some style. Navy's defense is good, and Navy can run. Navy needs their quarterback to play really well.
Yes,
he's
they do.
Pretty much unstoppable when he's running well. So.
Yes, yeah. They do.
It's like it could be another shootout here on Saturday.
Defense is not good at all. So they've given up a lot of points in the last few weeks. So. I'll go Navy.
Yep, so we could have another shootout there for Saturday. All right, so let's now move up to the pros. Three Sunday games. It is the Dallas Cowboys heading up to the New England Patriots.
Patriots.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Sean, Texas.
Oh, I've got Dallas for sure. Tom Brady has been just not impressive, especially the last few weeks. He's not getting the protection from the offensive line, and you can tell, there's a lot of passes he'll just give up a lot quicker than I thought. He'd just, spike the ball into the ground, just throw it away or underthrow or overthrow. So he's just not the same anymore. It is the start of the end of Tom Brady.
Patriots. He's mentally frustrated, which sports is 70% mental and 30% physical. Mentally, he's not enjoying a 9-1 season. He looks like he's lost the game when the game is over. Last week, they won 17-10, but the winning touchdown was thrown by Edelman.
Maybe you combine that, too, with Gronk. I mean, there's no Gronk there, so that means, and Gronk is known for his blocking as well as his catching, so that's another facet of Brady's offense that gets taken out. But I'm going with Dallas here.
Good pick. I took New England because of their defense.
Their defense is really good.
Oh, it is.
Offense is that great. So, Dallas is one of those teams that's up and down. They're great one week and look like they can win the Super Bowl, and then next week you're like, what happened?
Well, either I keep surging or I'm screwed this weekend.
Yeah.
Oh, man, the rubber's going to meet the road here.
Yeah.
Wow.
New England's tough at home. That's a tough.
Right.
But Dallas, I mean, if they can run the ball, I'm not a huge Zach Prescott guy. I think he's average. I think Zeke Elliott makes him look good. So.
Well, I mean, right now they're leading their division, but if you're going to be that primo team, and we keep hearing Dallas is in the conversation week in and week out. Okay, if this is the week you're going to step up, come on, step up, go against a non-conference opponent here and see what you
get. Who did they lose to a couple weeks ago that it was just like, what? Was it 2 or 3 weeks ago they had a horrible loss?
Yeah, who was that?
Yeah, against a team they should have beat. I can't remember who it was. I was just like, you're kidding, right? You know?
No, that's what happens. I mean, look at the Falcons. Falcons upset the Saints. Yeah. I mean, look at the Saints. I mean, look at the Falcons now. They're surging.
Somebody's here.
Tell Claire we said hi.
What's the next? So somebody's pounding on my door. Hang on.
Pizza delivery?
I'll be hanging out on the radio. I'll be right back.
Hi.
Hey, guys. I'm just on the radio.
Welcome to live radio.
Nonchalantly.
Welcome to live radio.
Well, 2 weeks ago, Minnesota beat Dallas 2 weeks ago, so I wouldn't call that a bad loss.
No,
that's not a bad loss, but, I mean, they kicked their butt, too.
Green Bay and the 49ers. We got a little time here. Green Bay and the 49ers. Yes. I'm going to take the Packers on the road.
I've got the 49ers. I think they're for real.
I love the 49ers, San Francisco.
Okay. I'm going with Aaron Rodgers.
Going to be a great game.
That's not a bad pick. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, they can win that game.
Mm-hmm.
That can beat anybody. San Francisco, it's just the way they can control the running game.
Yeah.
And if the quarterback starts playing on the level that he played the last couple of weeks, they're a really tough out, and their defense is good, and they're at home.
And the Monday night special is the Baltimore Ravens at the Coliseum to take on the Los Angeles Rams.
Ravens.
It pains me to say this, but, the Ravens are for sure one of the top teams right now in the National Football League. I don't know if I'd call them the best team in the league, but just all hinges on Lamar Jackson. It really does. But I just wonder how long this is going to last. With I mean, he's leading the voting for Pro Bowl this week. Yeah.
To be honest with you, he might be a little bit better than Mitch Trubisky.
Oh, I still can't believe the Bears moved up to number two to pick him. Oh my!
I mean, the Rams last week got a gimme facing that offense.
Yeah, but finally Todd Gurley woke up, though. He finally rushed for over 100 yards.
Yeah. The Rams, the Baltimore's offense is just very odd and very old school. Two tight ends, and I love it when they put all the Heisman Trophy winners in the backfield. That's just hilarious. Yeah.
It's funny with all this talk about Colin Kaepernick. Is he going to land on a team? Well, I would say if he could land on a team, what team right now has the offense and the fit for Colin Kaepernick? I think it'd be the Baltimore Ravens because they got Romans, one of the coordinators there, and he's got the connection in the past with Kaepernick. So,
that's the type of offense that Kaepernick would thrive in.
Yeah.
So he's just not a very nice guy.
But it's been 3 years since he played, and would he still have the foot speed, though? That's what you're
saying.
Lamar Jackson would have to get hurt, guys. He's not going to walk in and replace him.
Oh, absolutely. That's the only way it would happen. Oh, absolutely, for sure.
Okay.
I got the Ravens.
I've got the Ravens, too, so that's a sweep there.
Well, yep. Okay. I'd have to go answer my door.
There you go. Take care of business.
Oh, they're waiting in the parking lot for me, and it's cold out.
Yeah, that's a golden moment. It's just a mere thought of that. They're waiting for me in the parking lot. What does that mean?
All right, guys, my radio hit is over. How can I help you?
Go Penn State. Hope you win. Have a safe trip.
Thanks. Appreciate it. All right.
Great call Saturday, bud. Can't wait to hear it.
Appreciate it.
You betcha.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.